Good morning and welcome back to the show. This is the Call of Podcast. And as always, I am your host, Todd Archer. Good morning, and I hope that this week has been one of stepping out of your comfort zone that has encouraged you to grow in who God has created you to be, intended you to be. Hope it's been a great week, as it has been the Holy Week, the week of Easter, as of yesterday. But before we get into the show, as always, let's start with a prayer. Father God, we come to you today for your strength in becoming who you intended us to be. For the glory of your kingdom, we pray that you would lead each of the men listening today to take encouragement and wisdom that comes from you in leading their families, communities, countries, and that through your power and grace, we may each glorify your kingdom in being who you have created us to be. In Yeshua's mighty and holy name we pray. Amen. All right, men. This show is going to be something that God has put on my heart. And here recently, as like we said yesterday, was Easter, the greatest day in history that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross on Friday and was buried on Friday, is now alive. He is resurrected. He is back. The hope is alive because our hope is in Jesus Christ alone. He is the reason that there is hope in this world, whether you admit it or whether you don't, or whether you agree with it or allow yourself to believe it or not. It is the truth. There is no other greater day in history that has been documented more than the resurrected Christ. So, speaking of that, you know, we, again, through in that same sentiment, because of the resurrected Christ, have been giving hope, through and by a gracious and loving God. It is the fulfillment of God's word to us and what we are, that we are his, and the creator of the universe came down and took his creation's form to show us he was willing to give everything for us. And that brings us to the title of this episode, which is selfishness. So as I reflect on yesterday and all the blessings and love that God poured out on our family yesterday, man, it was just an amazing day. From just God allowing me to have another day to serve him, get it right, and be more like him. I am so grateful and thankful for that opportunity, you know, and getting to be a part of the building church that truly believes in the Bible and preaches the Bible. And to hear the message they delivered yesterday was just awesome and a true blessing in my life. If you haven't seen it or heard it, no matter where you're at, go on lifeclifec.com and hear the Easter message. It was preached online by Pastor David Griffin. Great job. It was awesome. So thankful for his wisdom and his being in touch with what God has planned for the church, as well as Pastor Randy Wade in his delivering of the message in his unique way and style that, again, just another blessing that got to take part in yesterday. And then the rest of the day, fishing, food, family, and finally some rest. It was a long day. It was a great day. It was a busy day, but in the end of it, I am so thankful that I was allowed to participate in all of that. You know, and I see all the great things that that God has blessed me with. You know, my beautiful wife, my children, the family, the extended family, all of these things that I am so thankful and grateful for in my life. And yet, all of that he gives me to see is so beautiful and so wonderful. He has also allowed my eyes to be open to the fact that there's a lot of people out there that are hurting, that are stuck, that are going through things that, you know, I don't fully understand, or I'm not involved in, let me put it that way. I kind of understand a lot, but I am not in that situation where, you know, I'm in the mud with these people going through whatever it is they're going through. But I see it, you know, and even though I don't know all the details, you know, if I look at their situation and reflect back on my life, and, you know, I see people that just are too full of themselves to just allow God to work in their lives the way he wants to. You know, I see the pain and the unwillingness to believe. You know, we've talked about this. I've got a friend who don't want to believe. Sent him a message yesterday sharing the good news of the gospel, and he asked me not to. And I get it, but it's heartbreaking for me that in those moments I know what's coming because my eyes have been opened because of my acceptance and belief in who Jesus Christ is. And it hurts my soul to know there's other people in my life that are battling addiction and battling adultery and losing their marriages and losing their kids and just different things going on in the people that are around me, you know, people wrestling with their faith and, you know, their doubt in who God is. And that was kind of the message of yesterday with our church, is it's okay to doubt, but bring what little faith you have to the table and lay it at the feet of Jesus. And just keep bringing that little faith and ask him to help you with the doubt and the confusion of what is going on in your life. To ask him to clarify for it, and it will be answered. Maybe not in your timetable, maybe not in my timetable, but he is faithful and true to answer all that we ask of him. So we must do that. Man, you know, and I, you know, you pray for these people and you ask things and you're just like, man, what am I really praying for? Or why am I praying? You know, what is the root cause that needs to be fixed? And through the self-reflection of my life and just the things that I've done and I've experienced and, pain and heartache and different things that I've caused and every relationship that I've been in, I'm like, why? What is it? And, you know, I'm thankful that God gave me the word that it's selfishness. It was because I wanted what I wanted first and foremost. You know, whether it be whatever situation you're in right now, if you really break it down and you look at it, you look at it in the form of, hey, why is this going so bad? Why are these things so hard? Why do I not understand what's happening? Why can't I get it? Why can't I make sense of it? You know, whether, no matter what it is, I mean, you look at it and that's what it boils down to, selfishness, right? And we get it. I mean, there's self-preservation. There's all kinds of different things that we do out of the need for taking care of ourselves. But that needs to be focused on Jesus and filling our minds and our hearts with His word and His truth, and then going out and applying those things to our life. So, you know, again, I go back and I look at my life and I look at all the situations that were bad and didn't go the way I wanted them to or whatever. And it was because I was being selfish. I only wanted what Todd wanted, and I didn't care what you thought, whatever. You know, it didn't matter. I was going to get what I wanted to get, and if I didn't, I'd move on to somewhere else where I could get what I wanted. You know, so I looked it up, and the definition from Webster's, you know, selfishness is concerned only or primarily with oneself without regard for others. Right? It's a pretty basic, simple term. You know, and if we're looking into God's word, we see all that God has done for His people, then, now, and why is it so hard to do what He wants us to do, or see, or experience? Because of selfishness. Because of selfishness, we cannot get out of our own way. Right? Whatever situation you're going through, whatever situation you're in right now, whether, you know, you're struggling with a failed marriage or you're going through that process of not, why did it fail? Because in the point of it is you were only worried about what you wanted out of it. Right? And we see it all through the Bible. It started in the garden and it's been happening ever since. Right? Adam, he was selfish because he didn't step up and keep Eve from eating the fruit. Right? Because he was too afraid that he would lose Eve. He was more worried about that relationship than the relationship he had with the living God, the one who created him, the one that walked in the garden, who brought everything to him. He was more worried about in what he was going to lose if he didn't eat the apple with Eve. He was selfish. Right? You know, you look at Moses. Moses was saved by God, right, for his purpose, and raised up in the Egyptian culture, schooling, whatever. But yet he thought that by killing the Egyptian guard, it was going to bring him some kind of credit or make him look better in front of his natural people, the Israelites, right? Because he wanted and he thought it was time. Selfishness. David, a great king, great follower of God through his whole life. But when he let selfishness creep in, he decided he wanted Bathsheba for himself. He wasn't going to go to war. He wasn't going to do the things that God wanted him to do. He was going to do what he wanted to do, hang around the castle and chill out. And then he saw Bathsheba. I want it. Selfishness. You know, and there's more examples in the Old Testament, right? And you can go through there and you can see it. The New Testament, look at Peter. He denied Jesus three times, even after seeing all the miracles and great things that Jesus had done and had said himself that Jesus was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. But yet, when it came down to it, his need for thinking he was more important and his life was more important denied Jesus. Now, we all understand that through that, there was a bigger picture, bigger plan in God's way, but we get in the way of that plan when we only focus on ourselves, right? Paul, look at Paul, right? Paul was killing Christians. He was doing all of this for the acceptance of the Pharisees to gain stature and credit and he wanted to move up the chain, right? He was only focused on what he got out of it and not what he was doing to the other people or the people in the Christian faith. Again, selfishness. Judas, right? Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. Seen all the miracles as well. Sold him out for 30 pieces of silver because he wanted money and power. And he thought that was the way to get it. He thought he wanted selfishness once again back in the picture. You know, like I said, all of these were close to God. You know, Judas, even though he is the exception, I mean, he's seen everything Jesus had done. He walked with Jesus. He listened to Jesus preach. He listened to him. He was with him day in and day out, right? But he wanted money and power more than he wanted. He wanted his vision of what Jesus was going to do instead of what Jesus was actually doing, right? Selfishness, once again, rears its ugly head, right? And then there's that change, you know, as you grow and things happen in your life and God really starts to work on your heart, and you start to see, as you get older, the damage that you've caused. In not only in your life, but those that are closest to you, you see that. I see myself in, you know, my selfishness, and I'm not saying I don't have moments or you will never have moments of selfishness again. But it is the recognition again of that selfishness that decreases the moments and periods of us just being selfish and focused only on ourselves. And that's the key. That's the grace and love of Jesus Christ, is we recognize it when we're being selfish, when we recognize that the things that we are doing are going to hurt other people around us. And we'd rather not hurt those people around us than get what we want. When we can be selfless, not selfish. You know, even in God's words, right? It says in Luke 14:26-27, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Also in Matthew 16:24-25, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, selflessness, not selfishness, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So, in that, are we truly followers of Jesus if we're still allowing our selfishness to make our decisions for us? You know, like I said, we're still going to have those moments of selfish things that we want, but we recognize them and we should put them aside. You know, selfishness is the destroyer of all things that God has planned for your life, right? And in any situation, and you know, these are what I've seen and that I've experienced in my life. You know, in marriage, right? You become one flesh. You forget about yourself. And as men, God calls us to leave our families and become one with our wives, that through His will and through the bond of marriage and the through committing our lives, because Jesus put this person in our lives, that we are committed. We leave everything for our wives. That is, she is our main, God is our main purpose, and then the wife that He provides for us, that leads us to, is our next priority. When does that start to degrade? When does the marriage start to fall apart? When either one of the parties decides that what I want is more important than what you want. Right? They're not one flesh at that point because they're two individuals. They're not one flesh. You know, you have to, in a marriage, be willing to say, okay, yeah, I didn't like this or I didn't want this, right? But in the end, does it make a big difference? And being able to express that to your partner and not being selfish and only wanting it your way, but like with anything in this life, we have to find that middle ground. We have to find that compromise in the middle, right? It can't all be about us. The things, especially in a marriage, you can't want another man's wife, or you shouldn't want another man's wife, right? You shouldn't allow those selfish thoughts over, she pays attention to me, she can do this for me, or this or that or the other. And whether you be a man or a woman, in this situation, it goes both ways. But as men and being the image of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are to lead the way in that situation, right? We can't, and if we do feel like we're being selfish and we're not, I mean, we have to realize that. We have to come to the point that what someone else wants, especially when we're in a marriage covenant in that relationship, then it is imperative that we not be selfish, that we be selfless like Jesus was, right? Doesn't mean we can't get what we want or get the things that will make our marriage better. As long, that's what I'm saying. If you're focusing on in your marriage, how can I make this better? What can I do instead of what do I want? Then that starts to change the motion and change the trajectory of the relationship to more what God wants it to be, because then you're no longer thinking about you, or I'm no longer thinking about me, but I'm thinking about them first. Right, and how God wants me to handle this situation. And like we just said, you got to die to yourself. You got to pick up your cross each and every day. You can't be selfish, because if you are, then you're missing the glory and greatness of Jesus Christ. You know, in your belief, right? Why don't people believe in Jesus Christ or God? You know, a friend of mine that I was talking about earlier, you know, talking about, well, you know, thinking, I don't understand, I don't know, I can't follow a God who would allow these bad things to happen and this and that and the other. And that's pure selfishness and thinking that your way is better than His way. thinking that you know more than he does, thinking that our little puny minds, as powerful as the mind is, and that we have been blessed to have, it is better or greater than the one who created it. You know, get over yourself. It's not about you anymore. It's about others, the ones directly in your life, right? It's not about whether you shouldn't doubt that there is a God in heaven. There is a creator. You shouldn't doubt that he made you for a purpose. You shouldn't be so selfish as not to allow Jesus Christ to come into your life and change your life in a way that blesses your wife and your children. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing right now, no matter what you said in the past, Jesus can turn all of that into what he meant for it to be. So don't limit yourself to the thought of, I know better. I'm so selfish that I can't share who I really am with the people who are closest to me. Don't be that selfish. Don't be that ate up with yourself. Because I know inside, each and every one who doesn't believe or says they're not a believer or can't do this or can't do that, they do believe. What has happened is they have allowed the hurt that they've experienced in their life that was meant for somebody else, and they've held on to it. They've been selfish with it and not giving it to Jesus Christ and giving it away and ask him what he wants them to do with it. No, I'm going to hold it, and this is what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to make the excuse that because bad things happen in this world, I'm not going to believe. Well, you know, that again, that's your choice. But if you're going to be that selfish and sacrifice the people closest to you in your life, and make them suffer through your selfishness because as the leader of the family, your wife has to suffer, your children has to suffer because you're too worried about you to hear the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be that, right? If you're in a marriage where your wife or your husband is not stepping up and doing what they're doing and they're dragging you down and they're being so selfish that their need to get high, drunk, whatever it may be, a physical pleasure, whatever they're doing, right? They're being the selfish one. How much more selfish are you in that situation not to say something, not to take action in that situation, not to say, hey, we're married, we're one flesh, we're not for ourselves, we're for each other. And what you're doing right now is being very selfish, or I'm being very selfish, or have been very selfish, and I want to change that. And this is the direction we are going to move forward in the word and by the word of Jesus Christ, by God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Through all three of those, this is how and this is the direction we're moving, right? Don't be so selfish and being so scared to say something because you're afraid of what you're going to lose. You can lose it all. But when you have faith and when you come to Jesus Christ and you get rid of those selfish thoughts and ways and habits, no matter what you lose will be given back in return, whether it be here or whether it be in eternity. But it's been my experience as well. When we step out in faith in Jesus Christ on this planet, we will receive the peace and joy and comfort that comes along with stepping out in that faith, which makes everything on this planet tolerable because we know that's not where our bank account is. Our bank account is in heaven with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we have to step out in faith. We have to quit being so selfish and so caught up in ourselves that we cannot see the glory and greatness that God has given us to be and to share that. Don't hold on to that. Don't be selfish. Like this whole season three has been so far of this podcast, it has been about ownership. You don't own it. Give it away. Give yourself away to Jesus Christ Accept him into your life. Be like him. Right? There are times that we will have to step away to refresh our soul and our spirit, to refill our tanks. I get it. That's self-care. That's not selfishness. But in order for us to be who God created us to be, there are times when we're going to have to step back and take that and just be in God's word and be with God so that he can fill us and he can refill us, refresh us, and grow us in those seasons, right? Even Jesus stepped back to go pray and to the Father and to build his strength back up and to get his encouragement from the Father. Don't be selfish, man. Don't be so stuck on what you want or what you get out of this relationship, this good, bad, or other, this marriage. Don't be afraid. Don't be so selfish to let fear control you that you don't say something when it's needed to be said. Or if you're the one causing the problem, if you're lusting after other women or watching porn or doing whatever you're doing, gambling, playing golf, whatever, not putting your wife first, whatever it may be, don't be so selfish that you think that is more important than spending time with your wife, because it's not. Don't be selfish in sharing your faith, the life and the things that have happened in your life for God's purpose and God's glory. Don't hold on to them. Don't own those things. Don't be selfish not to share the things that have happened in your life with others, because that brings glory to the kingdom of God, and that is the joy and peace you will find in and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you quit being selfish and making all the excuses of why you don't believe or why you don't want to be in this marriage or why you don't say nothing to your spouse when they're acting an idiot, right? Don't be selfish. Don't do that. Jesus would have said something. You say something. You change your ways. You give your life to him. You realize that it's you and your selfishness and the things that you want causing these problems in your life. Man, and that's the one thing that he's shown me, is that every problem that I've had in my life that I directly affect the relationships he's given me, I've blown it. I've been so selfish and only worried about what I can get out of the relationship, not what I'm putting into the relationship. So whether your marriage is suffering or struggling, you're only worried about you. Quit worrying about you. Worry about them. How can I help them? What can I do to help make this better for the glory of God? Because marriage is God's covenant. Marriage is God's plan for our lives. So why are we going to let our selfishness ruin that? Why are we going to let our selfishness in not believing in God, the Father, Son, and Spirit? Why are we not? Why are we going to be so selfish not to allow our mind and our hearts to be open to who he is, to cost the people that are around us, to cost the people that we would have met because he had planned for us to meet, but because we chose to be selfish and say, you know what, I don't believe that because it hurt my feelings one time and I'm going to cry, I'm going to have my pity party, and I'm not going to deal with that. Right? Well, quit being selfish. Get over yourself. It's okay. You don't have to understand everything. All you have to understand is that his ways are higher than your ways. Pick up your cross, die to yourself, and follow Jesus. You know? And I've done it. I've been it. I've been that dude who didn't give a dang. Right? Who was only worried about what Todd could get out of it. Boy, I tell you what. When I quit worrying about what Todd's going to get out of it, and I started worrying about what more I can give to my sons and my daughters and my beautiful wife, loving wife, right, and what she needs, am I perfect? No, I still mess up. I still have those moments of selfishness. But overall, what she wants and what she needs, I'm more willing to see that that's more important than what I want and my needs. And if I continue to submit to that, to Jesus and the way he lived his life, then my relationship with her will continue to grow and blossom, because that's his plan for our lives, right? So don't be so selfish in your non-belief that you cause other people around you to miss out on the blessing that God intended you to be. Don't miss out on seeing it. Don't be so selfish that you miss the beauty in his grace and his love for your life, right? And if you're in that relationship again that has a party that causes you not to fulfill what God has for your life, quit being selfish and being fearful and letting fear control you. You're never too far gone for God to clean up the situation, for Jesus Christ to step in and clean it up. Is it going to happen at the snap of a finger? No. Is it going to happen instantaneously? No. But there will be changes, and they will start to happen when you let go of yourself and your selfishness and what you're afraid that everybody's going to say about you, because they've heard it all before and you've never backed it up and you're worried about being judged. Get over yourself. Get over the selfishness. That's selfish thoughts, because you're only worried about you and what other people think of you at that point. You've got to let that go, and you've got to start moving toward Jesus. It may cost you everything. It may cost you another marriage. It may cost you another friendship. It may cost another car, another house, another being broke. Maybe it costs you having the nicer things and living on the street. It doesn't matter. Quit being selfish. Give it up. Give it to Jesus and let him start cleaning up your life, because you ain't going to do it all on your own. The only way you're going to get there is by submitting and giving your life over to Jesus Christ, and then let him, through you, start cleaning it up for his glory and his kingdom. So, men, don't be selfish today. Jesus has risen. Yesterday was a glorious day. The tomb is empty. The hope is alive, because he's not in there. Don't miss out what he has for you by only focusing on you. Your purpose on this planet is not for you. Don't miss it. Don't be selfish. So, men, remember, as always, as you do what you do today, answer the call of men.